Hello, I'm Lawrence Wilson. Welcome back to our study through the book of Hebrews, as we continue to see how Jesus is better than anything that came before him in the Old Testament. And we continue to focus on how Jesus is better than anything else we have on earth today. Last time in chapter 4, we saw Jesus as our great high priest who knows what it's like to be tempted, who's suffered temptation in all the same ways that we have, but he has not sinned. This theme of Christ as our high priest continues on into chapter 5, where we read, "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins." So we learn that in the Old Testament pattern, the high priest, whose job it was to be a mediator between God and people, was chosen out from amongst men. Again, a reminder that Jesus Christ, in being our high priest, became a man. He was incarnated, God in flesh. We see also that a high priest is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God through offerings of gifts and sacrifices for sins. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates humanity from God, who is holy. And so if that relationship was ever going to be restored in any way, the role of the priest was necessary to serve as a mediator, offering gifts and sacrifices for sins in order to allow the worshiper to interact with God. It says in verse 2, "He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness." So the high priest, because he is a man, can deal better with other men because he also understands what it is to be human. We saw that a little bit at the end of chapter 4, that Christ, being a man, understands our human weaknesses. Verse 3, "Because of this, he is obliged to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people." Of course, this does not refer to Christ, who we already established was tempted like we are, but without sin. But for the earthly high priest, the human high priest who came before in the Old Testament, because he is also beset with weakness, because he also is a human being, he must offer sacrifices for his own sins first, just like the offerings that he makes for the sins of the people. And then in verse 4 we read, "And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was." Aaron, the brother of Moses, was the first high priest chosen by God amongst the Israelites. All other priests were chosen by God. This was not a position that a person signed up for. This was not a position that someone could decide he wanted to be a part of. God chose out his high priest. "So also Christ," verse 5, "did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" Another quote from the book of Psalms here, or actually a couple of quotes from the book of Psalms placed together. So Christ did not make himself a high priest either, but he was chosen, he was appointed by God the Father. He says also in another place, verse 6, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, this concept of the order of Melchizedek will come up later in the book of Hebrews, so we'll address it in more detail later. For now, understand these two Old Testament quotes referring to Christ, talking about how God appointed him to be the perfect high priest for humanity. And how was he able to do that? Verse 7 tells us that in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Of course, this is a clear reference to Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane before his death, when he was crying out and praying to God, saying, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Though, upon face value, and the passage even says here, he's crying out to the one who could save him from death. And at first glance, it seems that Christ was praying to be delivered from the death of the cross. But we know that is not the case from other places in the Gospels where Jesus clearly was determined to go to the cross. He told the disciples, in fact, he rebuked Peter for telling him that he should not go and die on the cross, that he should not go to Jerusalem to die. Jesus knew that his mission was to go and die, but he was crying out to God for deliverance from the suffering of death. He was crying out for deliverance from hell, which was about to be his consequence as a result of taking on all of the sins of the world on his shoulders, so that he could effectively serve as our high priest, so that he could defeat sin, so that he could defeat death, so that he could resurrect on the third day. And we see that in verse 8, although he was a son, Jesus Christ became a man, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Now that seems interesting to think that God has to learn anything, right? Jesus was fully man, he was fully God. But as fully God, as a son of the king, as the heir, he never had to obey. He is God, he's perfect. But now, as a man, coming down a little bit lower than the angels, as we saw earlier, he had to learn obedience through what he suffered. And by doing so, verse 9, by being made perfect, not morally perfect, which he already was, free from sin, but now complete in having learned obedience, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Again, more information on Melchizedek will be coming later. Essentially, the priesthood of Melchizedek was greater than the priesthood of Aaron. So now we've seen how Christ is a better prophet than the Old Testament prophets, a better servant and minister than the angels, a better steward of God's house than Moses, since he is the builder of the house. We see how he provides a better salvation, a better rest than God's people were offered through Moses or through Joshua. And we see here how Jesus is a better high priest than Aaron, which will come into play a little bit later in the book of Hebrews, will be explained in a little bit more detail. But for now, Jesus being called our great high priest helps us to realize a few things, right? The high priest was a man chosen by God. So was Jesus. It's easy for people to get so fixated on the fact that Jesus was fully God and deny certain aspects of his humanity. It's important for us to understand Jesus suffered as a man. Jesus went to the cross as a man. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer and die as a human being. He knows what it's like to be tempted. Okay? He understands those things. We also see that a high priest is supposed to be a mediator between God and man. But even in this passage, we see that the high priest can't even atone for his own sins. He has to make sacrifices for his own sins first. Of course, we know, and we'll see this later on, that this is a completely different case with Jesus, who had no sin. He had no need to make a sacrifice for his own sins. So we already start to see how he's a better priest than any of the priests that came after Aaron or in his family line. And we know, of course, that because of the work of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, that we who obey him in faith can receive eternal salvation. Again, remember that the recipients of this passage, the Hebrew Christians who are being written to, are wavering in their confidence in Christ. They are beginning to doubt whether it is worth it to follow Christ because of the persecution and because of the different things that are going on in their world at the time that they're reading this for the first time. And they are being told, listen, Christ suffered on your behalf. Christ made a sacrifice that you could not make for yourself, that you can have eternal salvation through what he has done. Eternal salvation. Not like the high priest who had to go back every year and make the same sacrifices. Now, this concept of Melchizedek gets a little bit complicated. It's a little bit dense. And theologians and Bible scholars throughout the years have been trying to figure out some of the mysteries of who this Melchizedek person is. But the author of Hebrews, before getting into that, has to address a few other concerns first. Those we'll begin to talk about in our next video. I hope and pray, though, that something said in this one has ministered to your heart, and that you take it and you share it with everyone that you meet. These are powerful and transformational truths. Thank you, and God bless. Thank you.